The Mountain Gardener is paid for by Waters Garden Center and is solely responsible for its content.
Welcome to The Mountain Gardener with your host, Ken Lane. Gardening can be challenging, but with Ken's tips, tricks, and local advice, you'll reap huge rewards. Now welcome your host, Ken Lane.
Welcome to this week's edition of The Mountain Gardener. Your host, Ken Lane, here every week talking about the landscapes of northern Arizona. In January, we're wrapping this thing up. We're 1 month into the season, the spring planting season. It's virtually here. There are a couple things you should feel angst about. You should feel anxious. You should want to kind of prepare getting things ready. And one is soil preparation. The other is pruning. I mean, you need to get these things are kind of in the way. So during nice days, there's time. But when you got a nice day, go out there and enjoy the fresh air, enjoy the sunshine, and get your gardens ready. Because planting season is March 1. You start with potatoes and garlics and onions. Some of you at the lower elevations, you're at the end of February. We're basically a month out before we start. We're already starting to get like the 2024, their seed are here, freshly tested. They're 90% plus germination rate, very good quality seed. They're just here. So it's just starting the 2024 pottery. It's here. The things are happening at the garden center. The fruit trees show up this week. So, that's this year, spring crop will show up. So you're here. One thing that I've kind of completed this week, soil preparation. You really do want to get your soil ready ahead of time. You want to load it up with organics and manures. And I'll share what I've done in my gardens. You know, my name's Ken. We're just friends over the airwaves and we're talking gardening. This is working in my backyard. I think it'll work in yours as well. So, a couple things and we'll show you how to do that, but you want to get your soils ready because you're going to load them up with lots of organic material. Sometimes that makes your gardens, the soil hot or it has too much nitrogen. It can burn brand new seedlings. And so you want to have it settle, kind of let it just even out for a few weeks before you go plant. That's why you want to start, March 1, I want to back up about a month and start my soil prep there. I want to start my seedlings before the March 1. So if you're going to plant a broccoli, cauliflower, spinach, lettuce, all those early spring vegetables, you want to start those several weeks before you're putting them out in the garden. I know the frost dates. Yeah, but Ken, all my neighbors say don't plant before Mother's Day. Well, those aren't gardeners. Those are yardeners, what I call them. They're backyard folks that are out there only when the weather is perfect. They're not trying to get more beauty for an extra 6 months out of the year with early spring plantings. They aren't trying to increase their harvest because they're doing early spring and summer and a fall planting. That's gardeners take care of all of the seasons. Yardeners, I know it's a play on words. I know I just made that up, just came to mind and just kind of threw it out there, but they're not real gardeners. Those folks only plant summer. They're just tomato gardeners. That's Mother's Day. We start planting the summer things, but between March and then, that's 2 months ahead. We're planting all the early spring. The first crop of pansies just showed up. And so they are starting to kind of be here. Hold on just a second. We got this. What is going on with my cancel? Remember, folks, if you're on the airwaves, you should turn your phone off. Oh, my gosh. I apologize for those looking in, watching this via video on YouTube or Apple or Spotify. Sorry about that. So off, off, off. There we go. I thought I'd done that, but my watch went off. Anymore, we're like cyborgs. We've got multiple devices plugged into us. We've got earbuds, phones, and watches all connected, telling us you've got a phone call and it's spam. You want to answer it? No. Anyway, back at it. Sorry about that. So soil, what I've done is I've got a lot of raised beds. That's mainly where I do most of my flower and vegetable gardening. So I do a lot of containers. So that's a little bit different. I don't have time to touch on that. I'll see if I can, but your raised beds are just out there in the yard. You really want a 2 to 3 inch layer of fresh, new organic matter topped over the entire garden bed. And you want to turn that into the garden soil one shovel's depth or about one rototiller, however you're turning your soil to that depth. So you want to work that into there. You want to pull out all those old roots, anything that was left over there, the debris. Those are not your friend. Those carry disease. They compost in the ground. They rob the next spring's plants of nitrogen. But if you take all those old roots from last year out of there, and then you put a 2 to 3 inch layer of mulch and manure is what I did. I like manure. This is the time when you add manures to your yard, but manure is hot. It's very high in nitrogen, which makes your seedlings grow like crazy, like wildflower. I mean, like wildflowers, like wildfire, woo, takes off. And so you want to add a 2 to 3 inch layer. And I just take a bag. Here's what I do. Whatever open bag is at the garden center, I just take some of those because I've already paid for them and they're mine. I just kind of, instead of putting a piece of tape on them and try to sell them to you, I just take them home and I use them. So, and it's about a 50-50 blend, manure and composted mulch. So the mulch we have, we composted for over a year, screened down to 1/4 inch minus. It's very fine. It looks like rich. It almost looks like a large coffee ground. It's like that. The manure we have is composted an extra 6 months just so we can deodorize it. I find it offensive to sell customer gardeners stinky, gross things I put in the back of your Lexus. It's just rude. I'm not going to do that. So we take the extra time to deodorize it. So it's not, in fact, you can't even tell it's manure. It looks like compost, but it's richer. And so you want to do a 50-50 blend over that raised bed, over that garden plot, and then turn that into one shovel step. Now, there's a couple things I add to that. I'm kind of a lazy gardener. I want to add as much as I can. And if I'm going to take a shovel and turn things down, I'm going to power up the rototiller. I want to till it all at once. I don't want to do it 2 or 3 times. Just once and done. I'm out. So I put that layer of organic matter, mulch, and manure. I'll add my fertilizer for spring. So I make a fruit and vegetable food. It's an organic food. But I like that one, either for flowers or vegetables, either one. It's made for vegetables, fruiting and vegetable crops because it's loaded up with calcium. Calcium is what helps you get a bigger, more flavorful fruit or vegetables. You want bigger blackberries? Fruit and vegetable food. If you want bigger tomatoes, cucumbers, sweeter peppers, fruit and vegetable food because of the calcium. Calcium is what helps to, it also eliminates blossom end rot. There's a lot of benefits with calcium, but it's a 6-4-4-7 formula. The 7 is 7% calcium. I add the recommended amount of that. I add some gypsum at the same time because I like to grow tomatoes. Many times your blossom end rot, that black spot that forms, that's a calcium deficiency. That's it just kind of, it's from your soil. If you know that's where it's coming from, load it up. So I add the fruit and vegetable food, gypsum, and sulfur. Those three things. Sulfur. The reason I'm adding sulfur, this is unique. This Midwest, Midwest folks, tune in. You're used to adding hydrated lime to your soil. You're always trying to raise the pH of your soil. We never do that here. Our water is so alkaline. If you were to add more lime to your soil while you're turning this in, you would just sterilize the soil. It would be so, just you take your pH and put it off the charts. And so you're probably, you're back here, wherever you're tuned in. I'm tuned in from Sedona. I'm different. You're not. I'm from Camp Verde. I'm different. You're not. I'm from Mayer, Dewey, Humboldt, Prescott Valley. You are the same as the rest of us. Oh, yeah, but Skull Valley, Baghdad, we're different. No, Paulden, Skull Valley, we're all the same. Chino, you're the same. We have very alkaline water and terrible soil. So you got to help plants with this. So you got to change the texture by adding some organic matter, and you need to change the chemistry by lowering the pH. Sulfur lowers that pH. If you put your mulch, your manure, your food, fruit and vegetable food, I like that one specifically, made for here. It's pelletized. It just works right in. Sulfur, gypsum, you are going to have a magical, I mean, unbelievable harvest. I mean, just so many tomatoes, you're going to bring them into the garden center to garden class and just give them away because you can't deal with all. If there's so many off of 3 plants, you got to be kidding me. It's going to be that kind of so many cucumbers. So many folks complain about their cucumbers and eggplants. They just don't form well. Well, that's the reason. the nutrients are not quite heavy enough. Turn that in one shovel's depth, let it set for a few weeks, pray for snow and rain, kind of have that soil kind of settle and percolate. You're going to be ready to plant potatoes, garlic, onions, cauliflower, lettuce, broccoli, starting March. Anyway, we got a lot in store for you. Lisa Waters Lane coming in after this.
You've been listening to The Mountain Gardener with Ken Lane, owner of Waters Garden Center in Prescott. Join him every week for timely garden advice right for the gardens. Visit Ken where he can be found throughout the week at Waters Garden Center in Prescott.
Not everyone can grow wildflowers, but we'll make sure you're not one of them.
At Waters, we know which wildflowers sprout, thrive, and bloom with success.
We're wild about wildflowers, with many of our own Arizona blends.
Like our Arizona Native Mix, Butterfly and Hummingbird Mixes, and all are big, bold, and beautiful.
At Waters, we know wildflowers, and winter's a season to spread new seed.
Waters Garden Center, where people who love their flowers wild, they love to shop for seed.
Natural wonders like the Grand Canyon are breathtakingly beautiful. Another natural wonder, worm castings. Whether you're planting a new garden or fertilizing flowers, lawn or fruit trees, Natural Wonders Worm Castings will make it grow. Right now, Natural Wonders Worm Castings are on sale at Waters Garden Center. Buy four and get the fifth free. So stop by at Waters Garden Center at 1815 Iron Springs Road today for your Natural Wonders Worm Castings.
We believe bees and monarchs are in danger and we can save them at Waters Garden Center.
You've been listening to Ken Lane, the Mountain Gardener. Green thumbs learned while working in the Family Garden Center. Now welcome back to the Mountain Gardener.
And we are back with my special guest. She comes, well, every week, not a guest. cohort.
Special.
Co-host. My special wife. Comes in each week. This year's garden questions is, what are people talking about out in the gardens? And there's something to glean off from that. So we're starting to see people show up. So we had,
yes.
It was cold and rainy last weekend at the garden class, and there were like 20 people there waiting to go. It's just like, okay, gardeners, that's, gardeners are funny that way. They go after it no matter what. So welcome to the studio.
Thank you. Good to be here.
How good?
Super duper good.
Yeah.
How's that?
What kind of questions we got?
Sure. So Al wants to know, he hasn't watered his landscape since late December. With all the moisture that we've had lately, can he just skip watering in January or should he water?
Al, shame on you. You haven't watered since December. Come on. The amount of rain we've had, I think I measured 0.08 inches one day and another 0.25.
Mm-hmm.
Another day, and really you should water your plants 2 inches per week, per month, sorry. So give it a deep soak. 1 inch of water will penetrate about 6 inches of soil. That's where most of the roots are, maybe a little deeper if you could. So you want that water pushed down pretty far. So it seems like we've had some moisture, but we haven't had any really. I mean, the ground is bone dry. So the ground, the water, the dry washes are not running. So the ground is absorbing all of it and holding it. So if anything, that moisture we've had, the couple times we've seen moisture, all it did was keep you from having, it provided one more day of watering before you had to water it again. It really didn't hydrate your plants at all.
Mm-hmm.
So they're desperate. They need moisture. Right? Get out there with a hose. I mean, just get a bucket, something, especially your new plants.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not talking about big 20, 30 foot Colorado spruce with roots all over the ground, all over the gardens. I'm talking about that new Vanderwolf pine, that new lilac, that new hedgerow, that new privacy screen. If you want those things to really grow for you next, you know, spring, sorry, March, you should hydrate those. Don't let the tips dry out. Don't let the roots dry out. Keep them hydrated. So what we tell folks is water 2 times per month through winter. A deep, pick a nice day and just water them midday. And it's a deep soak. It's as though you're watering your plants in the heat of June and it's 95 degrees out. It's just blistering hot. Water it like that. But then you're not doing it for another 2 weeks.
Right.
If we get moisture, and I mean intense, crazy, I haven't been outside for 3 days kind of moisture, not, oh, there's a cloud in the sky. I feel like I'm wet now, not Arizona dry. I'm talking like real moisture, like raining dry. then you can cut one of those out. At least once a month, one time at least, no matter what. Really, it should be twice. You should water twice. So Al, get out there. Water your plants.
Definitely right now, because a lot of your plants are, they're getting ready to set for their new growth. Lilacs are setting buds, forsythia, all those things that, especially spring bloomers, if they don't get that moisture, you're not going to get the big blooms like you want.
If a lilac dries out and it goes through a real cold cycle, it will sacrifice the flowers of spring to keep the heart or the mother plant or the core of that plant alive. Mm-hmm. Same with your fruit trees, same with your spring blooming trees, same with your, so you really want to protect them. And as they're budding up, if you take a close look, walk your yard and look at your plants, they are preparing for spring. They're actively swelling those growths. So while they're doing that, they're taking more moisture. So you'll need to protect them a little more. Once they start to bloom, now it really becomes critical. Because plants, once they're in bloom, they're using more moisture because they're evaporating or sweating out moisture out of those flowers or out of those fruits. And so protect them. So anyway.
Yes.
Don't mean to scare you. Just gal. Just in 2 months. It's too long.
You need to water.
Yeah.
I know, speaking of things starting to set buds, I noticed our neighbor's winter jasmine across the street.
Isn't that pretty?
Is starting to bloom. A real pretty bloom. Very nice. All right. Danny said his neighbor recommended applying something to his Vanderwolf and blue spruces to help with the color. He wants to know what that is and when it should be applied.
So, Danny, great question. I'm glad that neighbors are helping. That's gardeners. They like to help each other. So you start talking, wow, how do your color a spruce look so good? Mine don't look that good. And we just start sharing. Mm-hmm. So there's two things. One, fertilize them right now with all-purpose plant food. That's a 744 natural organic fertilizer. It's granular, sprinkled out there. It's got a lot of sulfur in it. It'll lower the pH. It's made with cottonseed meal, lowers the pH, makes it more acidic. So your evergreens that you just mentioned, they like acidity. They want the ground to be acid loving. So that will do that. It'll also increase the bud size. If you look on the tips, you're seeing this little tiny button on the end. That's going to be the elongated growth. That's spruce, pine, fir, cedar, cypress, all your evergreens, your conifers, they're going to have that. But what your neighbor specifically is talking about is aluminum sulfate. Aluminum is plants pick up aluminum out of the soil, and that's what creates that intense blue. So if you got Arizona cypress that are crazy blue, they've got a lot of aluminum. Colorado spruce, a lot of blue. That's aluminum. Or your Vanderwolf pines. Vanderwolves have that blue on the top side, white on the bottom. It'll bring out that intensity. So it almost, I mean, if you give it enough, if you do those two things, all-purpose plant food and aluminum sulfate, they'll almost glow in the dark after they start to grow for spring. They'll come out and go, whoa, that's pretty cool. If you don't do that, they start to get yellow. They get pale. They look off color. And so they just won't be as thick and full. They won't have as many branches. The growth won't be as long. They won't be as luscious. And all of us want luscious, more luscious in our lives. And that's what's going to do it. Aluminum sulfate, all-purpose plant food. That's a great question, actually.
Now's the time.
Right away. I would do it almost now if you really want to be intense. We did our whole yards a couple weeks ago. We'll do it again right before they get their growth, probably in March. Hit it again with the same thing. And the new growth will just be covered with this beautiful silvery blue color. I'll do it to lilacs. They like that because you'll get a better fragrance, a brighter color with that. And so certain things, I'd say evergreens and early spring bloomers really appreciate that.
Good to know. All right. Tess is in her first house, new homeowner.
Congratulations, Tess. Yeah. All right.
She really wants to put in a spring garden, and she wants to know, what do you put in? Yeah. What type of plants can go into a spring garden? And when do you start planting?
Yeah, that's a good question, Tess. So that's actually good. That's not an innocent or newbie question. That's anyone that's new to the area. You need to know your zone. So we're zone 7. We need plants to go down to 10 degrees. You need to know your frost dates. The frost dates, the first last frost of the year of the spring is May 8th, actually. That's the 100 years average. Locals use Mother's Day, and I know it fluxes a little bit, but Mother's Day is what the locals use as a holiday. And then Halloween is actually October 29 is the exact 100-year average of first frost of the year, but locals use Halloween as the holiday, easier to remember. So keep those things in mind. If you go on before Mother's Day, we have early spring plants. So we just got our first load of pansies are in. They love the cold. They love bright days and cold nights. If you're doing flowers like that. So vegetables would be broccoli, cauliflower. Those are things you can start really early. If you're doing trees, you can do fruit trees starting, next week we got our first load of fruit trees coming in. So you can plant those in there. Lilacs will be on that same truck, so you can plant them. So there's early spring. So which is really after Mother's Day, that's when you're putting all your tomatoes and all your other summer blooming plants. You put those in then you get your summer plants. I just need heat, more heat. They love the heat. Those, and then you got fall color. Right now we're really dealing with evergreen stuff. So your things that just hold their foliage. Actually, a lot of them bloom. So you're looking at Raphiolyptus, gardenias. A lot of these evergreens will actually bloom. You mentioned winter blooming jasmines, evergreen that blooms in the winter. So yeah, those are all the things. That's come in and visit. And Tess, we'll walk you. Take a camera phone. Take a picture. Bring it in. Don't get overwhelmed because it's easy to get way overwhelmed. Just take a picture of your front entrance, your back patio, your where I want that garden bed. We'll look to see how much sun is there, how much soil, what else is growing. Help get you some companion plants in that area. You're out of time. My goodness, it goes fast. And Lisa Lane, the Mountain Gardeners. Be right back after this.
You're listening to Ken Lane, a.k.a. the Mountain Gardener. Ken can be found throughout the week in Prescott at Waters Garden Center. Listen each week as he answers timely garden questions unique to mountain gardens.
As the days get longer and brighter, houseplants can struggle and scorch, but we have the solution.
At Waters, we've organized our houseplants from A to Z for the brightest of sunny locations, many even bloom.
With experts that know plants and how to make them grow.
Shipments of the freshest houseplants in town have just arrived from A to Z and ready for a bright new home.
Waters Garden Center, where people who love bright green houseplants, they love to shop, found in Prescott.
I'm out of home now, and I love my new little apartment, but there's something I miss, watching my mom garden in our backyard. She gave those flowers and plants such a personal, loving touch that I miss. Well, I just visited my local garden center, and they gave me some great ideas. Now, when I look out my patio window, I see the beautiful planter they suggested teeming with bright Arizona flowers. It's like being with mom in her garden.
Want help with planting? It's all online at plant-something.org. Brought to you by the Arizona Nursery Association at plant-something.org.
You'll love it.
Hi, this is Barry. Join me for lunch every Saturday at 12 o'clock for the Prescott Palette. That's every Saturday at 12 o'clock on KQ&A, 1130 AM, 95.5 FM, 99.9 FM, and KQNA.com, as well as the mobile app.
We believe no one is a failure who has friends at Waters Garden Center.
You've been listening to The Mountain Gardener with local expert Ken Lane. Join the conversation every week as he answers timely garden questions. Email Ken a question directly from your phone to his desktop through the web at watersgardencenter.com. That's Waters with two T's, gardencenter.com. Now welcome back your host, Ken Lane.
At the start of the show, I had mentioned that there's two things you really need to be focused on. I mean, you should feel like I need to get out there and start the season. That was preparing your soil. I told you how to do that. That's the first segment. And then also pruning and cutting things back. So getting your perennials cut back, cutting back your fruit trees. Now is now through middle of March is your window. So it's a big window, but you should want to finish this thing up. So I'm kind of done with mine. And one of the mysteries I find folks have, last week's garden class, one said, again, I've got three big pampas grass. Two of them grow really well. One of them just languishes. It doesn't do anything. What's going on? Help me. And so with all of your ornamental grasses, this is pampas grass, fescues, misacanthus, deer grass, zebra grass, all your pretty decorative, sedges, grasses, that kind of stuff, not yuccas. Not agaves, not bear grass, which really isn't a grass. It's something different. It's a native evergreen kind of thing that grows out there in the valley areas. I'm talking about your regular ornamental grass. Pampas is the most famous. That's a big grass, gets head high, has these great big plumes on top of it, covered. Right now it starts to look a little rough just because it's rain and snow kind of beats them up. The plumes have kind of limped over. They aren't as fluffy as they were because they're being beat up. You need to cut those back to about knee high. All other grasses you're cutting back to about ankle high. So you really cut back on them. If you don't do that, what will happen is that the green that's there now will start to brown as the shorter days, the cold, it just beats them up. If you don't cut them back, you'll get this brown with this green on your grasses. And so other grasses, like let's say Misacanthus, I've got grama grass. I just cut my grama, native ornamental grass, grows about just shy of knee high. Beautiful, beautiful plumes on it or flowers to it. It's beautiful and native. I hardly care for it, but I cut it back. I fertilize it every winter. Now is the time. And so I'm cutting those things back. Grasses are very fast growers. They're going to elongate and be just as big so that you cut back this pampas grass by 4, 5, 6 feet. It's going to grow that much again this coming season. I mean, really quickly, starting in March, grasses start to grow. In fact, some of them, I started to see some green shoots coming up. And so they're waiting to take off. Now to grow that much and then to bloom, kind of plume with this beautiful grass, Misacanthus. It's got this beautiful pink hue to it. It's just stunning late summer and autumn. And so it takes a lot of energy to do that, which means food. Grasses need more food than other plants in the gardens if you want beautiful ones. Do they need it? Do they have to have it? No, but they'll be weak and limp and they'll die out in the middle. They just won't plume as well. But if you feed them, if you cut them back and feed them, they are just like rock stars. They are beautiful in the garden. They are the showpiece because they're gathering up wind. They float around in the wind, kind of the slightest of breeze. They just add drama. Butterflies love them. Birds like to take the seed heads and use them as a food source or nesting. There's a lot of benefits. And we are in this higher elevation of Arizona. We're in grass country. I mean, just we grow grasses without all the issues that a lot of other parts of the country have. So whack on those things. Don't be afraid. You almost can't make a mistake with ornamental grasses. So just whack on them. With pampas grass, you'll see these curlicues about, 18, 24 inches off the ground. You cut it back to there. Just whack it off. Throw the rest of it away. Add it to the burn pile. Compost them. Just chuck them in the dumpster. Either way, just clear them out of there. And then fertilize it. Now, for this, if one is not performing as well as maybe others, there's a reason for that. It's going to be soil related. There's a rock shelf, there's caliche layers. Something's going on. Yeah, but Ken, they were all planted the same. They're all exactly the same. They should all grow exactly the same. There's nothing exact about your soil in the mountains of Arizona. Every single hole, one that's just a few feet away, is different. How the soil drains through it, how much organics, what roots are competing for the resources under the ground. Plants are trying to get the most, protect their root zone so they can grow. And you just don't know. I've seen so many holes. You're digging out this huge chunk of this boulder out of this hole, and that makes a difference. So something's going on that you don't see. That's why that one is languishing. It's not, or maybe you got some grubs or something. Something's going on there. But what I told this gal was, hey, take a bag of manure, cut it back, take a bag of manure, just put it around your pampas grass. I think that extra nitrogen and organics are going to be a game changer for that plant. And so if you're doing it, do it to all three of them. Don't hold back and go, this one's special, I'm going to make them grow. This one, you're held off, trying to even you out. Just treat them all as special children. You're trying to grow out in the backyard. You want the most out of them. Here's what made these others happy. I want you to be happy too. Everyone gets some. And then fertilize it. I would say grasses would benefit most from 744 all-purpose plant food. The reason I say that, it's got bird guano and cottonseed meal in it. Those two ingredients, grasses love bird poop. I mean, they just love it. They feed off it. They grow faster. And the cottonseed meal is what grows huge plumes. You get better, showier grasses. So fertilize it, manure it, cut them back, and you will have, you'll be set the stage for just stunning, the most beautiful grasses on the street in your neighborhood. More in store. Be right back after this.
The Mountain Gardener, your source for timely garden advice right for higher elevations. Guaranteed to make a difference in your yard this season.
My living room feels so empty.
Now that the Christmas tree is gone, the house just seems so blah.
Brighten it up with a big, bold, beautiful plant from Waters Garden Center.
Fill that cavernous space with tall tropicals, colossal cactus, and sizable succulents that bring the great outdoors indoors.
Make a gorgeous green space you can enjoy all year, not just for a season.
Unique, exclusive, one-of-a-kind houseplants found only at Waters Garden Center in Prescott.
You're listening to The Mountain Gardener with local expert Ken Lane. Mountain gardening is very rewarding, with a few of Ken's tips, tricks, and garden shortcuts sure to turn your thumbs even greener. Now welcome back to The Mountain Gardener.
We're back with Lisa Waters Lane in the studio. She comes each week and just shares her garden knowledge. I'm going to pull all that garden knowledge out of your brain and just share it over the airwaves. Stream it, podcast it, and just share it with folks so that we can. I think gardening is never completely learned. I think it's it's a process that we learn. That's what keeps your brain young. You keep learning more and more stuff, or they change it. Like, they now have dwarf lilacs. 20 years ago when we started this thing, or 30 years ago when we started this, they just had big lilacs.
Right.
There weren't any reblooming lilacs. There weren't any dwarfs. There were only big butterfly bush. Now they've got dwarf repeat blooming butterfly bush. It's they got ground cover varieties. It's fun to see the new thing. It's like Christmas. Every spring you get to see it all over again. So welcome to the studio.
Thank you.
So what's your garden approach this week? What you going to share with folks? How are you going to enlighten
us? Well, we're all kind of cooped up in our houses a little bit still, just
rainy,
because
of
the rain and the cold. And, you know, we have a few nice days here and there, and it's fun to get outside and dream and plan about what you might do. But we're still kind of a little bit inside here, and we're especially in our bedrooms a lot this time of year because it's dark so early and dark.
Yeah. It does seem like the days are shorter. They're getting longer, but
they're
even short.
I have starting to notice a change. But yes, you're right. We're kind of in our houses still a little bit. So when we're in our home, like our house, we run a humidifier, we run air purifiers and things just because we like to do that.
Because we work outdoors and it's allergies and all kinds of stuff.
So especially in your bedroom, it's nice to have plants in your bedroom, or if you have an office where you're spending a lot of time, it's nice to have those plants that actually work as air purifiers.
Yeah.
So you're doing additional work in there, kind of double duties. They create beauty and some feng shui, and they give you a sense of wellness in your room, but they can also help clean the air out of there as well.
There's some science out now. They're showing, since work from home, all that kind of stuff, they're showing that there's a productivity increase when you have multiple houseplants in the workspace in which you're working.
Right.
It's more than just clean air. It's like it's a feeling. They change the environment so you actually can focus better, feel better. So yeah, clean air for sure. It gets all that formaldehyde, all that crazy stuff that you got, those Christmas gifts you got soaked in to ship across the Pacific Ocean to get to here.
Yeah.
They help clean out all that benzene, all that other crazy stuff and dust. Yeah.
True. So I thought I'd talk about a few of those plants that are easy care plants, number one. But they also do a really good job of cleaning the air in your room.
And these are all the ones we've got them at the garden center right now.
Oh, yeah.
So you could come in and get one of these and add it like this afternoon.
Yes.
Okay.
And put it in a pretty pot too.
Oh, there we go.
That will match your room. We got more pots, all kinds of colors.
It's kind of fun.
So aloe vera is actually a really good one. Now, people think of aloe vera just for, I have a sunburn, put something on it. So aloe vera is great for doing that double duty. It's great for cleaning the air. It's great to have on hand for those cuts and scrapes. And the other thing I love about it, it takes hardly any water at all.
So easy to grow.
I love plants that I don't have to go, oh my God, I gotta water it. And it's just super easy to take care of. They're light. They want a room that's somewhat brighter. It can't be a real dark spot or they'll just kind of sit there and look at you. But even if you have good lighting in your room, Those east-facing windows are excellent. It's just a really super easy plant.
A lot of bedrooms have so many windows. You got that slider. They got the back window. They got a bay window. Usually there's a lot of, I don't know about a guest room, but the masters for sure, they've got more. They've got plenty of light for all these things.
Perfect, yeah. Dracaenas, sometimes people call them corn plants, but Dracaenas is like this huge family of plants, from these big, tall, upright ones to smaller ones. They have a lot now that have kind of pink and red colors into them, so they can be very attractive. Just a super easy plant to grow. There again, it can take even a lower light room and a brighter room, so it's very
flexible.
Flexible. And it just, they don't need a lot of water either. Usually about every 2 weeks or so on those guys. So I just love it when I don't have to constantly worry about them, and they just kind of take care of themselves.
Yeah.
They're very happy to grow. So a lot of new colors. I would definitely check those. It's not your grandmother's corn plant.
So many fun house plants anymore. It's just, it's exciting. Yeah.
English ivy. So if you're looking for one to kind of drape down, maybe put it on a stand or a dresser, or they just kind of drape down. The other thing you can do with them is get a form, a topiary form, and grow them on that form. Super fast growing, easy to grow. There again, they can take a dark room. They can take a light room. They don't care. They'll just grow wherever. But you can have fun with those and kind of put them on topiaries or let them drape down.
Ivy are one of those that are notorious for sucking out bad air, improving air quality. They take bad stuff out of the air and they pump out oxygen. Mm-hmm. They're famous for that. And there's some NASA science experiments and stuff to play with, but it's really good.
One thing about an ivy is don't overwater it.
Yeah.
It's one of those plants that really just does not like to sit wet. So you do have
to
be careful.
They actually pull moisture out of the air. Mm-hmm. So especially a humidifier, you might not have to water an ivy because they're kind of like an orchid that way, or bromeliad.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's true. So another one that everybody loves, it's the Martha Stewart tree. Yeah. You know what I'm talking about?
Fiddly leaf fig. Is that the one?
Fig.
Yeah, I could have said
yes. Everyone calls it the Martha Stewart tree. And it is, it's a beautiful, it has a very large leaf that looks like a fiddle, hence the name fiddly fig. Bright green, especially if you've got a lot of space in your room, they're great to put in because they want to get big. They want to really take over. But it works because it has that great big leaf. It is tremendous at cleaning your air, purifying your air. It's just a super plant to grow. It likes moderation in all things.
Yeah.
Moderate light, moderate water, moderate temperature. So if you go too overboard on one of those things, you're not going to have a real happy plant. But hey, moderation is good practice. Right?
It is moderation January, so why not?
It is. I didn't know that. Oops.
Made that up. Sure. Made up another word earlier. A yardener. I made that one up. So this is the show of making up words.
You're good at that. You are the king of making up words. That's for sure. Peace lily. Otherwise known as bathophyllum, another one with real big leaves to it, likes a darker room or a lighter room, very versatile in that way. The thing I like about a peace lily is it takes the guess out of when you need to water, because a peace lily will just go, oh my God, I need water. And then you water them and they're like, oh, okay, I'm happy again. So if you're one of those people that, do I water it? Do I not water it? A peace lily will tell you when you need to water
it. Actually, it's a good canary. Put it out there. When it starts to droop, water all the houseplants in that room. They're probably going to need it at the same time.
Or not.
Yeah.
A moisture meter. Get a moisture meter.
There you go. Moisture meter.
That will save you.
$10 tool that
so much
takes
grief.
All the stress out.
Yes, definitely. But peace lily is really pretty. They also put off a white bloom to them, which is very attractive. Philodendrons. Now, philodendrons are kind of like dracaenas. There are a bazillion in the family, from big exotic leaves to little leaves to draping to upright. I'm certain we have one that you will love. And I've got a lot of philodendrons in the house.
It's like your
because
favorite one.
They're so easy to grow.
Easy to grow, and they're exotic. Yeah. So you can get them with pinks and whites and all kinds of stuff.
Yeah, I've got the pink princess and I think the white. White Knight, I think, or two that I'm actually doing really well with right now. My Pink Princess, I'm almost got to repot it. I got to get a new stake for it because it's one of those that needs a stake to grow up.
You know where you can get one of those?
I'll think about that.
Maybe just come to work and take one home.
Come to work. You're asking a lot. But philodendrons definitely, they're again, you can get ones that drape over, ones that grow upright. Another one is the snake plant, otherwise known as the mother-in-law's tongue. That one is super easy to grow. There again, maybe once a month you're watering it. It can take a variety of light from hardly any light to bright light. And it, you know, other thing, great thing, I'm talking fast, is it doesn't have leaves that drop. So you're not kind of picking up leaves. So it's very clean. And the last one is the spider plant, also known as the airplane plant.
You're out of time, my dear. Thank you very much. The house plants that are perfect for your bedroom. So Ken and Lisa Lane, the Mountain Gardeners, be right back after this.
Look for more tips, tricks, and garden shortcuts through Ken's website. Podcast the show, read his weekly garden column, or follow him on Facebook and Instagram at watersgardencenter.com. That's Waters with two T's, gardencenter.com.
Not everyone can grow wildflowers, but we'll make sure you're not one of them.
At Waters, we know which wildflowers sprout, thrive, and bloom with success.
We're wild about wildflowers, with many of our own Arizona blends.
Like our Arizona Native Mix, Butterfly and Hummingbird mixes, and all are big, bold, and beautiful.
At Waters, we know wildflowers, and winter's a season to spread new seed.
Waters Garden Center, where people who love their flowers wild, they love to shop for seed.
I was raised in a nice house with my family. Now I'm out on my own and have my own apartment. I love my cute little place, but there's something I do miss. I miss my mom's garden in the backyard. It was so special because over the years I was growing up, I watched her give those flowers and plants such a personal, loving touch and so much color. I miss it so. Well, guess what? I just visited my local garden center and they gave me some great ideas. And now, because of them, when I look out my patio window, I see the beautiful planter they suggested, teeming with flowers, bright Arizona flowers. Looking at those flowers gives me such a nice feeling. And it's almost like being with Mom in the backyard all over again.
Want help with planting? It's all online at plant-something.org. Brought to you by the Arizona Nursery Association at plant-something.org.
You'll love it, too.
Welcome to The Mountain Gardener with Ken Lane. Gardening in the mountains is different. Listen to Ken's tips, tricks, and garden shortcuts guaranteed to make your gardens more beautiful than ever this year. Now for better advice that works locally, welcome your host, Ken Lane.
This weekend's garden class is on how to grow wildflowers. And the reason that we have a class, every Saturday at 9:30 we have a class. The topics change. This weekend it's how to grow wildflowers and why January is the best month to start wildflowers. Or I'd say by the end of February. If you can get it in before Valentine's, perfect. And here's the reason why. It seems counterintuitive unless you're a gardener. But seed, this is a blended seed. So you get wildflower mixes or blends. So there's 10, 20 or more varieties of seed in each of our mixes. We custom make our mixes. So there's a butterfly. There's a deer and rabbit resistive. There's a Arizona. There's a native mix. And so there's only a poppy mix. Just California poppies, only with more than just orange. It's got reds and yellows and pinks and whites. It's really pretty. The reason that you're putting them in January, these are wild seed. And so some of them are so light and fluffy, they float away. Some are so hard and crusty, they just have this shell that you just can't get through. And so these types of seed that are truly wild, they're truly native perennial types of seed. That is, they're going to come back and grow bigger and better every year. Many of these need to go through this freeze-thaw cycle. They need to be frozen at night. And then warm up during the day, and that scarifies or cracks open or breaks open some of these seed that are just so hard. They're designed to hold their, to be there for years if they need to until the environment is just right. And so you're not going to wait till the environment's just right. You're going to force it because you're a gardener. I want wildflowers now. And so you get the soil ready. Pretty easy. I'll tell you how. And then you put your seed down. You put some light mulch, some organic stuff to keep them protected from basically the birds. And that's how you do it. And you're doing that the next, really, as the sooner the better. So the more they're exposed to this freeze and thaw, the better the harvest, the better the germination rate is going to be in your gardens. And so a few seed go a long way. So seed, wildflower seeds are not like grass. So lawn type of grasses, you're putting very heavy, like 8 pounds per 100 square feet is some ridiculous thing. Wildflowers are ounces to the 100 feet. So it's like they just go a long ways. And so one flower is going to come up and just take over. And they'll come up in waves. So they'll start growing at the end of February, March. They'll just come up in ever-growing waves as each variety of seeds start to germinate and come up. So they come up not all at once, but at different rates. And they're kind of sensitive. Some are light sensitive. So many hours a day, they go, oh, it's spring, grow. Some are soil temperature. Oh, finally, the soil's warm enough, I will sprout. And so there's different triggers for different kinds of seed. But if you have a good mix, a native mix, that's what's going to happen. Here, let me put a caveat to that. Here's the negative. Here's what to watch out for. And again, my name's Ken. We're just friends. And here's, I don't want my friends to make mistakes. And so a lot of the seed mixes you see sold, especially at the big box stores, the marts and things, they're wildflowers, but they're annuals. So those folks, they're going for price point. They don't care about quality. They don't care about next year. They only care about getting you to buy, you know, pay 10 bucks for this. And you say, God, we sold another one. Yeah. And so then they won't come back for you. So these are zinnias and so they're annuals. They'll bloom for 1 year and then that's it. They're not going to come back again. So they don't get better and bigger over time. So you don't want an annual variety of wildflower. You want a mix or blend of perennial varieties that are for this altitude, for this climate. So you're going to take our seed at Waters Garden Center from Prescott, Arizona. You're going to take that down to Phoenix or Palm Springs or Tucson. It wouldn't work. They're made for elevation. They're made for this cooler, this freeze-thaw. They're made for our environment. So you want a seed mix that's made for you, not boxed up in like Atlanta, Georgia, and then shipped over and sold to every store, all 2,000 stores. You don't want that seed mix. You'll be happy for 1 year, and then you'll be sorely disappointed. If you're going to do the work, do it where it's going to last you for years. At a wildflower patch, they should get more beautiful with age. They should spread with age. They should drift down that hillside. They should spread down that creekside and get even more beautiful with time. And so here's what to do. So as you're prepping your soil, wherever you want it. So I want it under my oak tree, or I want it down this to hold in the hillside, this eroding away. You scrape off that area with a stiff tine rake. Usually you're just trying to open up the earth. That's all you're doing. And you're getting rid of the rocks, the debris, the old roots, things that are there that will prevent seed. Seed cannot germinate in a rock. So you're trying to open up the earth. So get these rocks and you scrape it open so that you scarify or open up the earth so it can receive the seed. And you're getting rid of the rocks that heat up and just cause issues. And so that's okay. You just prep the soil. There, you got it. What I do, so I've got a couple just stunning patches. I mean, people come in the backyard and they just go, whoa, that's pretty cool. There's butterflies and hummingbirds. Right now I've got roadrunners running around in the flower bed going, I wonder what's out here. So, cause I just cut them back, for spring prep. And so there's lots of activity that come with wildflowers because they're wild. They're attracting the wild things out in your yard. And so I've cut those back. What I'll do is rake it up, spread my seed. I actually do a couple things. I will add some humic, H-U-M-I-C, humic, or it's a soil conditioner. It's humic acid is what it is. Humic acid, if you take a compost pile and boil it down to its last element, what you're left with is humic acid. Seeds love humic acid. If you know this, it encourages deeper roots is what it does. So it activates the soil so that the mycorrhizals and the worms are just kind of act. They're just working in this. They're going to come in because they're attracted to this humic acid. So you spread that on there. It's like a fertilizer. It looks like coffee grounds. So you spread it out there and it's going to help those seeds as they germinate to have deeper tap roots, which means you have a longer bloom, larger blooms, more blooms as the season progresses, especially for these summer things. So Gallardias, Echinaceas, Coreopsis, these summer blooming flowers, they're going to be blooming in the heat Well, you want them to have as deep a roots as you can. You get better flowers. And then I'll top dress that entire area with about a maybe a half inch, quarter inch, half inch, or as light as you can go, inch of a premium mulch. So that's our mulch we make. It's screened down real tight so it won't bury the seed, but it keeps the birds off, keeps them moist, keeps them from drying out so you get a better germination rate. It ensures you get seed to soil contact so that it needs that. If the seed are floating on top of other weeds or grasses, they're not going to germinate. They need to touch the soil. So this just ensures that you get that. Now, some of these seeds are so small, I can't even see where they landed. It's a problem. And so when I first started putting wildflowers out, I'd get a bunchy. So I'd go, okay, I think I spread in my hand and I couldn't tell where they were all going. So I get clumps of wildflowers coming up. An insider tip, this is just school of hard knocks. This just I came up with this, went, oh, hydromulch. I need to make my own hydromulch. And so I'll take a bag of premium mulch, which I just said you need some of that to keep the birds off. I'll put it in a wheelbarrow. I put my wildflowers into the mulch and I blend that into the mulch. I get two benefits. One, I instantly save a step so I don't have to spread mulch out there afterwards, but it helps me to spread it much evener. So as I'm taking a shovel, I'm spreading that out over the garden bed where I can see where that mulch layer is over there. Mulch is much easier to identify where it is than seed. You'll blend those seed into that mulch in the wheelbarrow. Hang on, they instantly disappear. And so this will help you to get a more even patch. I mean, it's a game changer. Why I didn't think of this earlier, I don't know. But now I recommend it in garden classes and to my friends over airwaves. It's a game changer. It really makes a difference. So summarize. Get a good seed mix. Get a native seed mix. If it's in a really pretty package, probably it's all annuals. If it's a cheap price, it's probably all annuals. In fact, they fill those packages up with annuals and top it off with vermiculite. It looks like seed, but it's not. It's just a trick to make it look cheaper. You want a good mix. Natives for your yard. Scrape open the earth with a stiff tine rake. Spread your seed out. Spread some humic over that. And keep it watered, a couple times a month. I don't know, that didn't take much. Keep it moist, and that's good enough. And you're going to have a spectacular wildflower patch this year, even better next year. Got more in store for you, but be right back after this.
You're listening to local garden expert Ken Lane, the owner of Waters Garden Center. He can be found throughout the week at Waters Garden Center, located in Prescott, 1815 Iron Springs Road. Thanks for tuning in to The Mountain Gardener.
As the days get longer and brighter, houseplants can struggle and scorch, but we have the solution.
At Waters, we've organized our houseplants from A to Z for the brightest of sunny locations, many even bloom.
With experts that know plants and how to make them grow.
Shipments of the freshest houseplants in town have just arrived from A to Z and ready for a bright new home.
Waters Garden Center, where people who love bright green houseplants, they love to shop, found in Prescott.
I'm out of home now, and I love my new little apartment, but there's something I miss, watching my mom garden in our backyard. She gave those flowers and plants such a personal, loving touch that I miss. Well, I just visited my local garden center, and they gave me some great ideas. Now, when I look out my patio window, I see the beautiful planter they suggested teeming with bright Arizona flowers. It's like being with mom in her garden.
Want help with planting? It's all online at plant-something.org. Brought to you by the Arizona Nursery Association at plant-something.org.
You'll love it.
Natural wonders like the Grand Canyon are breathtakingly beautiful. Another natural wonder, worm castings. Whether you're planting a new garden or fertilizing flowers, lawn or fruit trees, Natural Wonders Worm Castings will make it grow. Right now, Natural Wonders Worm Castings are on sale at Waters Garden Center. Buy four and get the fifth free. So stop by at Waters Garden Center at 1815 Iron Springs Road today for your Natural Wonders Worm Castings.
We believe searching Waters plants is better than a Google search at Waters Garden Center.
You've tuned in to The Mountain Gardener with local garden expert Ken Lane. Join him each week as he answers timely garden questions that are sure to make a difference in your gardens. Now welcome your host, Ken Lane.
So the 2024 seed are here, fresh seeds. Something you need to watch. So if you're buying seed, either on the net or at a store or wherever, you really want to take a look at the date. So in the state of Arizona, we have to test seed to make sure their germination rate, they're going to, when you put them in the ground, they're going to take off. There's got to be certain specs. So they're well into the 90s percent level. So there's no duds in the seed. And then there's different grades of seed. They actually have computers, AI lasers are checking the size of the seed. And they actually grade them. There's grade A, grade B, and there's kind of leftover stuff. That's the 10 for a dollar packages down over there. They sweep them off the floor and kind of, let's put them in a package, see if we can get rid of them. So you kind of want to check. But the main thing, the number one thing for my friends, you should check the date to make sure they're not left over from last year. They need to be tested. In fact, in Arizona, they need to be tested within 9 months of selling them. And there's special seed licenses we got to jump through. We're trying to ensure not just anyone can sell seed, because you get all these you get some bad stuff out there. If you're going to spend time on lima beans or zucchinis or zinnias or pansies, cauliflower, make sure you're going to get a good seed that's not going to dud. So just check the date on the back of all of our seed packages. It's got a date when it was tested, and it's for this year. So all of them are very, very fresh. All the old ones, we threw away. We donated. We just got rid of them. They aren't worth having. And so they're all fresh. So check that. So we're into this new year where it's going to carry over. You got last year's and this year's, and you'll be out there buying going, oh my gosh, why didn't these come up? It's because they were old seed. There's a vitality to them. I know you find, 5,000-year-old Egyptian tomb found seed and it germinated. That's freakishly rare. They had 100 seed and one came up. If you're going to take the energy and the time, you want them all to come up. In fact, on the back of our seed package, it tells you how many days before you can start planting it, how many days of germination. So it'll take 3 weeks to germinate the seed. On the inside, you open the package, it tells you how to plant it. So we've got seed packages that are really trying to help you be better gardeners. That and January is the houseplant. We just bulked up on houseplants. So we're starting to bring things in. So if you feel this void in your cavernous type of living room, you got 12-foot ceilings and the Christmas tree's gone and it doesn't feel the same, put a houseplant. There's lots of choices now. Big ones, small ones, trailing ones, upright ones, blooming ones. It's a good, good time to use houseplants. And then, the coming classes. So every Saturday at 9:30, I'll just plug the classes. They're free. We want you to be better gardeners. And quite honestly, I don't have the ad budget that Depot and Lowe's and Walmart does. I've got personality. I've got expertise. I got a staff that's unbelievable. I got better plants. And we're giving that advice. So, honestly, it's a marketing ploy. We want you to come and learn how to garden. So when that garden trigger goes off, you're going, I want to garden this weekend. You go, you're just already going to Waters Garden Center because we've already taught you a couple things and you've been inspired by a few of the plants and you see a pretty blue pot and you just know where you want to go. So we want to be your garden center when it finally takes off. So it's marketing. It's just good community service. One of our goals is to make our community more beautiful. That's actually a core value. We're not just selling plants. We want you to be successful and inspire your neighbors to do the same so that your neighborhood just looks better, more beautiful, more fragrant, where you just want to be out there on the patio enjoying a sunset when it's warm enough. So throughout the week, Lisa and I camp out here at Waters Garden Center, and we truly enjoy talking to friends here at the Garden Center. Come visit.
You've been listening to The Mountain Gardener with local garden expert Ken Lane, owner of Waters Garden Center in Prescott. Join him each week at the same time as he answers timely garden questions unique to the area. You can find him throughout the week at Waters Garden Center, located at 1815 Iron Springs Road in Prescott. Thank you for tuning in to this week's Mountain Gardener on the talk of the Quad Cities, 1130 AM, 99.9 FM, and 95.5 FM, KQNA.
My living room feels so empty.
Now that the Christmas tree is gone, the house just seems so blah.
Brighten it up with a big, bold, beautiful plant from Waters Garden Center.
Fill that cavernous space with tall tropicals, colossal cactus, and sizable succulents that bring the great outdoors indoors.
Make a gorgeous green space you can enjoy all year, not just for a season.
Unique, exclusive, one-of-a-kind houseplants found only at Waters Garden Center in Prescott.
It's Red Eye Radio. Gary McNamara and Eric Harley talk about everything from politics to social issues and news of the day. Whether you're up late or you're just starting your day, welcome to the show.
Red Eye Radio every night from 11 p.m. to 4 a.m. right here on KQNA.
Airtime for the Mountain Gardener was paid for by Waters Garden Center, and they were solely responsible for its content.